Making way.
He's got to go, Bob. That's final. There's no alternative.
Isn't there a way...
No sensible alternative.
But Albert, of all people...
Now, don't give me that again, Bob. I want cuts, drastic cost reductions. This company has become obsessed with feather-bedding men like Albert. Communications controllers, government liaison, advisors, divisional consultants, any handle except plain knackered. Running a rest home is an expensive business, and we're not in it. So I don't want to know about the Alberts, Sids, and Dorises of this firm. Well, since when did industry become a soft option anyway?
Loyalty comes into it. Trust and loyalty.
Out-of-date notions.
Loyalty out-of-date?
The profitable use of it, yes. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? That's what we're here for, to make a profit. What do you do with loyalty when you've got it? It ties a man so tight to his job he suffocates. No drive, no imagination. Just a piddling sense of duty and a place in the firm's darts team. If that's loyalty, I don't want it.
You mean we should have staff coming and going? Oh, we spend most of our time training people.
Isn't that what we should be doing anyway?
Well...
That's why loyalty is no use to us. The world's changing so fast, we must be retraining people all the time. We can't afford to think about length of service as being good in itself.
You can't replace 30 years of experience just like that.
What you mean is 1 year's experience repeated 30 times. That's something easy to replace.
Morning, Dad.
You'll have to wait until I've shaved now. I couldn't lie in any longer. Sit yourself down on the loo. Just look at you. Late night football matches on the box will be the death of you. Oh, one.
Go. Nil-nil.
Huh. That must have been worth stopping up for. You've watched 270 goalless minute this week already.
300.
300?
Extra time.
Three games and not a goal? That's ridiculous, Derek. Gee, ridiculous.
Well, there are other things to enjoy.
Like a good night's sleep.
You don't have to be blasting holes in the back of the net.
One trickling over the line would do. When I used to go to a match where there were no goals scored, I felt like asking for my money back. That's the aim of the game, isn't it? To score goals.
There's a pattern of play to consider. Tactics. Anyway, it's not important. Nothing's important this time of the morning.
Tactics, my foot. The reason they can't score goals is because they're wearing those panty low-cut winkle pickers on their feet. More like carpet slippers than boots. You never catch Nat Lofthouse with a pair like those. Used to wear a proper pair of boots, did Nat. Once his leg were cocked, and on the way down, nothing could stop it. It was like hitting the ball with a sledgehammer. You wouldn't remember Trevor Ford, would you, Derek?
Eh?
Trevor Ford. He was very much in the same mold as Nat Lofthouse.
Wore proper boots, did he?
Big men they were, built for the job.
Barrel chests and bullet heads.
Yes, proper footballers, before the game became intellectual. When they got the ball, they used to head straight toward the goal, not round the park and back again. No wonder they need to be super fit. They run twice the distance.
Yeah, running for the others, they call it, Dad. You wouldn't understand.
Running for the others, running off the ball. Fancy names for teamwork. He sure doesn't know what it means. Today, when a footballer gets dropped for a game, it's training to see the manager to be transfer-listed. Running for the others, teamwork, rubbish.
I want it done within the week.
There'll be trouble, J.W.
We'll survive.
Very unsettling.
Yes, yes, Bob. Unsettling, troublesome, and all within the week, please.
A great feel.
Hmm?
Albert, he had a great feel for order control.
To hear you talk, you'd think I was breaking up the woodwind section of the Philharmonic. Order control, order processing, grade 4 clerk shuffling paper about.
Conscientious, though. Albert saw to it.
Look, I haven't snatched this reorganization out of thin air, you know. It's all in here. Management Services Report number 239. It says in the recommendations, where is it? Here. That the two order control departments be merged into one. One department, one manager. Do I have to spell it out, Bob? Simple, sensible, economical. Look at the savings on processing costs alone.
But why does it have to be Albert?
Why anybody else?
What time do you call this, then?
Cheddar, ma'am.
Have you got your snap, Terry?
Yes, ma'am.
No wonder we're not getting casings out
Cheddar,
of the
family. Cheddar, Meg.
We shall lose this big American contract.
Oh, can you shut up for a moment, Dad? Cheddar, Meg.
You'll get no answer from up there. She's dead to the world.
I wish I bloody well was.
We shall lose this big American contract. Our tool see to that.
Oh,
5 minutes late, Al, but that's all. Don't need to exaggerate.
If everyone in the company turned up 5 minutes late, the loss in man-hours would be colossal.
Would be what?
Colossal.
Colossal what?
Man-hours.
Colossal man-hours?
Forget it.
Derek! Derek, breakfast on!
Late-night football matches. That's the trouble. It's a ridiculous time to go to bed. I'd like to watch late-night football matches.
Why don't you, then?
Why? Because you can't do your job properly when you're half asleep. That's why.
If only you cared half as much about anything else. Oh, I don't know.
Hey, is Terry late or are we early?
Oh, we're all late.
I'll do it yet, you know. Make you late for work.
I'll leave that drive at 5 to 8 precisely, whether you're ready or not.
How long is it?
38 years.
38 years of immaculate timekeeping. Incredible.
You don't have to be a superman.
Oh, no.
There have been the unavoidable snowdrifts, breakdowns, fogs.
Yeah, earthquakes.
But generally I've managed to overcome them, illness and all.
It did take half day off when you two were born.
Oh, well, that was an entitlement.
Enlightenment, you mean? The company must have known they were putting another 2 captive charge hands into stock.
It was your choice. It was both your choices.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder if I was hypnotised by the company doctor at birth.
Another cup, Derek.
We've no time for more cups of tea.
Yes, thanks, ma'am. Just another half, please. Right.
5 to 8. I've told you. I'm off at 5 to 8.
Any interest, has he?
Not that I know of. Outside the firm, he didn't really do much.
Yes. Well, we'll have to buy him some fishing rods or something. He'll want to get out and about and keep in touch, I shouldn't wonder. Retired Workers' Club, company, newspaper and so on. Make sure he gets the details, Bob.
Well, I'm not too sure he'll want to keep... you know.
Yes, quite.
Is there to be a presentation, J.W.?
From me, you mean? Oh, fatal, fatal. In these circumstances, embarrassing for the recipient. Oh, by all means, a small departmental gesture, but I think a quiet departure is best from all viewpoints.
Yes, I suppose so.
I'm right in thinking he has had a number of long service awards.
Yes, a number.
Good. I'm sure that when he gets over the initial shock, he'll still retain a warm feeling for the firm. I'm not decrying loyalty, Bob, just questioning its value. Experience, knowledge, they're soon made obsolete. We're all only as good as the last computer run, eh? Well, see to it, Bob. Within the week. Thank you.
Nobody would believe you.
Believe what?
If you told them of your 38 years of immaculate timekeeping...
They can please themselves.
I mean, nobody but nobody would believe you. You'd have to produce all your clock cards from the first day. You haven't got them, have you?
Daft.
Even a navvy can say, I helped build that bridge there. I helped lay that road. You've only got 38 years of immaculate timekeeping to look back on. I'm sure payroll would let you have them when you finish. Yeah. Your clock cards. Bound volume, very probably. Hey, this is your life, Albert Buxton.
You've no idea, have you, Derek? None at all.
Satin bookmarker, perhaps.
I've got enough to look back at and be proud of. Look at the company. Look how it's grown. I thought it was big when I joined as a lad. 4,000 workers. Fantastic, I thought. 20,000 now, and still expanding. I've played a part. Enough for me. Enough for most, I'd say. Why does rain always slow traffic down in town? I never understand it. Huh? There he goes again, the Vauxhall. He'll kill himself one morning. Treats the road like a racetrack. Of course, I don't expect what's been enough for me to be enough for you. Now, you've got all your business qualifications, your life ahead. I don't want you to be like your brother. No home for his wife and child, cycling to work a day like this. Foundry work.
Terry's playing his part.
You could go anywhere you want to, anywhere in the world. Not that you'll do better than here.
Well, surprise me.
You've got a good job. Management services, they attract attention. A good man soon gets spotted. Has, big report gone into print yet?
Yes.
Keeping mum about it, eh? Quite right. Very confidential, I understand. All in good time, lad, eh? All in good time. Oh, dear, if they don't do something with that traffic island, they won't shoot him.
You say this isn't in the forward order file? You sure? Come on, now, stand up straight, Alistair. You slouch across the desk as if it were a pillion. What time did you get to bed last night?
8:30, Mr. Buxton.
8:30 what?
10.
Well, look here, lad, this purchase order, it must be here somewhere. You checked it in, didn't you? You know Alistair as well as I do that loose purchase orders never get old in this office. They're swept away by zealous cleaning ladies of an evening. Now go and have another look through that forward order file, eh?
Oh, but does it matter, Mr. Buxton?
Does it matter, lad? Everything matters. What do you mean, does it matter?
Well, it's on the computer tabulation, Mr. Buxton, isn't it?
Tell me, lad, are you an anarchist?
What do you mean, Mr. Buxton?
Very likely I shall find a Molotov cocktail in that forward order file. The system, lad. You're destroying the system, do you see?
Yes.
A purchase order, the basis of a contractual agreement, right, lad? The basis of a contractual agreement. Very serious we are here in formalities. Not for my benefit, I assure you. I would just as soon everyone lounged about making purchase orders into paper aeroplanes, rather than filling cabinets with triplicate copies. Does it matter then, lad?
Yes, Mr. Buxton.
Yes, Mr. Buxton. Why does it matter? Look, there's £7,000 worth of goods on this order, for example. £2,000 worth on that one. And look at this. £11,200 worth. How much do you earn a week, Alistair?
£23, Mr. Buxton.
Right. Now do you understand why it matters? Don't look so glum, lad. We all make mistakes. I have one last look in that forward order file, and if nothing turns up, come back and see Ted. Here, just a minute. Ted!
Yes, Albert?
You know about Alistair's missing purchase order? Well, if he hasn't found it by dinner, will you have it cancelled this afternoon when they phone from Burbank?
Yeah, all right.
Then we can start again from scratch, Alistair, can't we?
Right, Mr. Buxton.
Off you go now. Take care in future. Well, you might smile, Ted. The questioning of modern youth. You'll have to deal with it someday. Growing pains, they call it. Growing for them, pains for us.
I've entered that advance order on a B4, Albert.
Well, the advanced Reynolds order?
Aye.
I ought to look at that, you know, Ted, before it goes on B4.
Quite straightforward, Albert. Quite straightforward.
Even so, I'd like to take a look in future before it goes. OK, Ted? Can't be too careful. Reynolds are very funny. I like cover on their orders. Tell me as soon as it comes in, Ted, straight away.
565. Oh, hello, Bob. Yes, he's here. Do you want to talk to him? Oh, no, I think so. Right now. Okay, I'll tell him. Right. Bob Burley wants you to go and see him, Albert.
Now?
Important.
Important? Well, what can that be? What was the backlog last week?
52.
It can't be that, then. You'll manage, will you, Ted? Would you see to these for me? Pen. Important, eh? Paper.
Ah, good morning, Albert.
Bob.
Take a seat. I'll be with you in a second. Yeah, that's right.
What are we going to do about our share price then, Bob? Our workers' shares will be worthless by the time we want to cash them in.
I shouldn't worry about that.
Not before we have to, eh?
Now then, where's that report gone to? Oh, just look at all this paperwork. Group capacity assessments, factor counts and count points, systematizing, monitoring. We're not in the engineering now, but we're in the business of producing reports and figures. To what end, I really don't know. All this data processing jargon. You know, Albert, the computer has changed too much too quickly.
Ah, Bob, well, you see, that's where I kept my head, where others didn't. The computer's never bothered me. Nah, not at all. Hasn't altered a damn thing in my little setup. I haven't let it. I'll have extra paper flying about, but we do basically the same as we've always done.
Yes. Well, Albert, Management Services have finally come up with their report.
Derek said they had.
Derek?
My boy, Derek. He helped me on the report.
Oh, yes, of course, Derek. Yes, I remember that, yeah. Well, it's covered quite a lot of, quite a number of points. I'm not too sure about some of the recommendations, but generally it's sensible, quite sensible. Well, some of it at least. J.W.'s had a look at it, and he's 100% in favour. Yeah. Not surprisingly, they claim £15,000 saving in processing costs alone. Still, we all know about these paper savings, of course. They never come about. Still, it's sensible at least. About your department, Albert, it's well, complimentary. Accurate, Good system and so on. However, it does come fairly firmly out in favour of merging the Spares Order Control Department with yours.
Not unexpected, Bob. Obvious, really. Ridiculous duplication. I've thought so for some time now.
You have?
Mm.
Yes. Well, the report points this out pretty strongly. As you'll appreciate, Robert...
Yes, I appreciate it, Bob. It's a choice between Jim Evans and myself for the merged department.
Oh, I don't have to explain. Well, I've seen J.W. about it. I pointed out your long and successful time with the company. I told him the morale in your department was exceptionally high, and so was your knowledge of the job. He pointed out that Jim Evans hadn't exactly done a bad job himself in the time he's been there. Fair enough, I suppose. I wouldn't argue with that.
Well, what did you argue about then, Bob?
As you know, Albert, J.W. isn't the right man to argue with.
Not out of choice.
Quite. However, now, I put your qualifications forward pretty forcibly, I thought. As forcibly as anyone could. I'm positive of that. Positive.
But the job's not mine.
No, Albert, I'm afraid not. In my view, it's a gross mistake, of course. A man of your experience, knowledge of the firm, and so on. 30 years' experience, I told him, can't be replaced easily.
38.
What?
38 years.
Really? Well, there you are.
Too many, perhaps.
No.
One gets set, it's inevitable.
Well...
Young men must be allowed their heads.
Sad but true, Albert.
I want it for our Derek, no different for others. I don't mind telling you, Bob, that I suspected what the outcome of the report would be. I braced myself in the manner of speaking. Yes, disappointment, of course. I'd built up quite a nice little team over there. It ticked over. Nothing dramatic. Order control never could be. But it ticked over, day in, day out. A necessary chore done right first time. That's what I tried to tell them. Nice little team. But as I said, I brace myself, Bob. I'm not such an idiot as to think that I can go on forever.
Well, Albert, you've seen it all before. You know what it's all about.
So where's it going to be then, Bob?
Sorry, Albert?
In what little niche is Albert Buxton about to find himself? I'm not to be shifted to divisional distribution with that old sod Stan Jenkins.
No, you're not, Albert.
Well, where am I going then, Bob?
Well, I don't know how to say this, Albert, but you're not going anywhere.
What do you mean? Not going anywhere. I can't stay in the department under Jim Evans. It's the last thing I'm likely to do. You didn't think that, did you?
No, we didn't.
Man of my age and experience, well, ludicrous, humiliating.
That's exactly what we thought, Albert.
Well, what else did you think?
Well, as I said, I argued quite forcibly, very forcibly, in fact, in favour of a divisional post, consultative, that sort of thing. But J.W.
Is not to be argued with.
From choice, as you said.
And so?
And so, Albert... J.W. thinks you should consider early retirement.
Early retirement? There, Bob, you can't be serious.
Now, Albert, take your time. Think about
it. I've had plenty of time to think about it. 38 years, in fact. Early retirement, nothing. I've got the sack, Bob. You're giving me the sack.
Of course it's not the sack, Albert. Nobody considers early retirement as the sack.
38 bloody years I've worked here. 38! Doesn't that give me any rights to a decent burial? A dignified exit? Why, Stan Jenkins, why not me?
I just don't know, Albert. I don't decide. You know that.
I know that, all right. I know that you decide very little. I'll tell you this, Bob. I appreciate that your knowledge of distribution is second to none. But as a man, you're a bloody non-starter. Would another manager let a subordinate down like this?
When you've had time to think.
There'll be no shortage of that, will
there? You'll realise I couldn't do anything else.
It's pathetic.
True, my discretion is strictly limited. Upstairs have made the decision, and that's it.
It doesn't make sense. I've put 38 years of hard graft for this company. I've helped in a small way to make it what it is today.
Look, we're all just paid to do a job, Albert.
I'm still doing a good job. It says so in that report.
In the end, Albert, it's just a job which can be finished in 1 month's notice.
And that's what I'm getting.
If that's how you want to look at it. Your record of service is second to none, Albert. But you must see that all of us older ones are in the same boat. Loyalty and experience count for nothing now. The sharp boys are in fashion. The analysts and consultants showing lots of cuff and wagging their executive briefcases about. We've been doing the job wrong all these years, Albert. They've come to show us the way.
Terry, put the paper down when you're eating.
I'll give over, Mag. Oh,
McCarty's doubtful for Saturday again. He's played 10 times for them in over half a season. That's £1,700 a game. What's that per minute of playing time, Derek? Strained groin muscle. They should have had a look at his groin before putting the money down.
Do you mind? I'm eating.
Is that all you're going to eat, Albert? Don't you want another cup of tea?
All I want is my paper.
You're not going to smoke in the loo, are you, Albert?
I'll do what I like.
Oh. Right back of laughs, isn't he? Hey, is this right then, our kid? You've written a report saying Albert must go, or words to that effect.
Leave him alone, Terry. It's nothing to do with him.
Well?
I worked on a report which included Dad's department.
Which recommended the bullet for him.
Not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Well, it proposed the merger of 2 similar departments, over which there could only be 1 boss man.
Which could have been old Albert, then.
Could have been, yeah.
But wasn't.
As it turned out, no.
So, who shot the bullet, then?
Dad's line manager.
Your lot had provided the ammo, eh? You must have known about this some time ago.
I saw it was a possibility. I couldn't see him leaving the firm, though, never. I thought some job would have been found for him. A good-sounding, innocuous sort of job.
Anyway, let it rest, Terry. Your father's given too much time and thought to that firm ever since I've known him. Give him a chance to do something else at last.
It must have given you a funny feeling these past few weeks, then. Oh. Knowing old Albert was due for the chop. Didn't think to give him a hint, did you?
Terry!
Look, Dad knew the score. He knew we were looking into his department. Wasn't my place to say anything.
Derek's right, Terry. Leave him alone.
Wasn't your place? Your place is here in the home.
The report was confidential.
Oh, confidential, my arse.
Terry?
It's your old man we're talking about. Do you see what's happened to him? He's dropped like a stone, shot through. The poor old sod had nothing to his name except 30-odd years service with that company.
Well, there was nothing I could do. It was a purely objective report.
Of course there was nothing you could do. Derek had have let out the information. He'd have been out on his ear. And that would have been 2 of them.
We always told him he had a screw loose about that damn firm. It meant more to him than his own, really. And now this...
Oh, it's all for the best, I tell you. They can spend a bit of time with me now. Start shaping up to that vegetable garden he's been promising me.
Albert, if you're going to sit there all day, you might as well do some shopping for me.
I'm reading, Doris.
What are you reading?
The newspaper. I'm reading the paper. Where is it?
I put it in the rack. You've been asleep an hour or more.
Nonsense.
I've dusted round you and hoovered the carpet. You've not budged. Some shopping will blow the cobwebs away.
Shopping? I did some shopping the other day.
2 days ago. There's a family to feed here, you know. While you're there, I want you to get some paint to do the bathroom. Where's that colour chart? Ah, here it is. What do you think about the fjord blue? Well, take it for a moment. Top right-hand corner. What do you think of it?
What for?
The bathroom. Well?
The bathroom? What do you want to paint the bathroom for?
I don't want to paint the bathroom. You want to paint the bathroom.
Do I? When did I say that?
Just now, in your sleep.
Oh.
So, come on, get organised. Here's a notepad and pencil. I want 1.5 pounds of middle-cut unsmoked bacon. Cut on number 6, remember, not like you brought home last week, thin as a banknote and about as tasty. I want you to buy some lamb chops, 4 pounds of Bramleys and 1 pound of firm tomatoes.
Hold on, hold on.
There's no time to hold on. You'll have to make haste now.
All right, all right. I'm not daft.
You've got that colour down, have you? Fjord blue. It's the nearest I'll get to Norway.
Hello, Albert.
Ted, nice to see you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How's life treating you?
Oh, so.
New member of the leisured classes, eh?
You must be joking. Look at this lot. This is the 3rd lot of shopping this week. I don't know where it all goes to.
I can see that Doris is keeping you busy.
Yeah, what with this and the decorating and the gardening, it's murder. You must be busy, Ted. Hey, have you got time for a cuppa? There's a snack bar just over the road.
Well, why not?
Two teas, love, please. Well, how are things back in the department?
Not bad, not bad at all. Lots to work on. Mm. Not as much as you've got on, by the sound of it. Another of the old brigade leaving tomorrow. Tessie.
A tea trolley Tessie?
Yes, I'm up in town to buy her a leaving present from the lads. She's being replaced by a drinks vending machine.
Never.
Yes, a company policy. Less costly, more flexible, and less argumentative. So, no more tea ladies. And all the offices are going open plan, rubber plants and creepers everywhere.
I remember them.
What?
The creepers.
Yeah, I wonder if she heard you. Could we have two teas, please, love?
Poor old Tessie. Could break her heart.
She's broken the offices. Yeah, have you ever tasted the drinks from those damn rooms? They've got them down at B-side. Tea, coffee, chocolate, soup, the lot. One day I put me 5p in and got whipped scotch broth with sugar. Honestly, they drive you crackers. Oh, thanks, love. Still, that's progress. You can get some sort of drink for yourself throughout the day and when you're working late.
Working late, are you, Ted?
Well, yes, now and again, Albert.
Yeah, you know what I used to say, Ted, if you can't do the job in the normal working day, something's wrong.
Yes, Albert, I remember.
I always had a working day by the measure of my efficiency. Sugar?
Yeah. Well, how's the family, Albert?
Oh, thriving.
Well, it must be nice to spend some time with your grandson,
huh? He's a little monkey.
Future company material, eh?
Well.
Hey, your lad's getting noticed upstairs, Derek. Mm-hmm. Bit of a high flyer, they reckon. It's a good place to get noticed, management services. Yeah, I've heard rumours he might move on to another company soon, is that right?
Oh, no idea, Ted. He hasn't said anything. He doesn't say much about work, and I don't press him.
He comes into contact with the top men. He should do well.
Anyway, Ted, tell me, how's it going on at my old stamping ground? Is young Alistair still struggling with the forward order file?
There isn't a forward order file for him to struggle with now.
No forward order file? What do you mean, Ted?
Well, Jim Evans thought there were too many bits of paper carrying the same information, so he scrapped half of them.
Nay. How can he do that, Ted?
He's done it, and that's that.
Well, what if a project manager wants to know his programme on compressor blades, say?
Well, that's just it. Now, last year, we filed away over 1,000 bits of paper for the specific purpose of answering project managers' questions. And how many did they ask? Bloody two! Does that surprise you?
Not really, Ted, it's just that I've never heard you swear before.
Oh, sorry.
Don't apologise, Ted, you're big enough to cuss. Only two questions it might have been, but when they were asked, pow, back came the answer. None of this, I'll ring you back in a week, very likely. Project managers are very important people, Ted. It's expensive to hold these boys up for lack of information.
Yes, of course, Albert. It's great to be able to get information quickly, but we employed one man all year round to answer those two questions. Mm-hmm. The information's in the computer tabulation somewhere, in numerous other places as well, for that matter. It might take you a day or so to find it, but you can do it.
Well, keep on waiting. Yeah,
for a time, yes. But it's all a matter of balance. Cost against convenience.
Scrimping.
Economics.
And what about the B4 file? What has Jim Evans done to that?
Well, nothing as yet. No, the B4s are my pigeon. And mine alone. Jim just said get on with it.
Well, what is Jim Evans doing then?
Well, nothing really. I mean, nothing that you used to do. He just delegates work.
Fancy stuff.
Yeah, well, frankly, he gives people responsibility that sometimes they can't handle.
Well, there you are.
They depended such a lot on you, Albert, to tell them what to do.
I too, didn't I?
Well, anyway, after a few drop-offs, they seem to be settling down all right now. Relishing it, some of them are, with a bit of extra freedom.
I wish you all the best, you know that. Seems all very strange to me. The department seemed to tick like a clock, regular, orderly. Information reference, cross-reference, no sweat, no tears. Why change?
Seemed natural.
All that accurately filed information gone in a waste bin.
But did it matter?
Everything matters, Ted.
Cutlery first.
Hey?
I said cutlery first.
Who's doing the washing up, Derek? Me or you? You're sure you've thought it all through?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Your timing's all wrong. You know that, don't you? It's all wrong.
I've decided.
Now that the American order has been placed, there'll be jobs for the picking. Just think of the opportunities.
Yeah, there are other considerations.
Well, it seems daft to me. A matter of weeks ago, there were three of us in this house working towards that goal, to beat the Yanks at their own game and guarantee employment in this town for years to come. Now there's only one of us staying to get the jam.
You're still wearing blinkers, Dad. There are other firms. Plenty of jam.
Oh, plenty of jam, is there?
For those who want to look for it, yeah. For those with qualifications. Isn't that what you've always said? Suppose that order hadn't materialised.
It would have been a disaster.
Yeah, to workers like Teddy down at the foundry, a disaster, right. For people like me, young, qualified, mobile, wouldn't have mattered.
Move in, take some jam, move out.
Something like that.
So it wouldn't have mattered then?
No, not much.
Hey, God's words fail me.
Can you wash that plate again? There's something still on it.
Where?
There.
Where?
There! Is your eyesight going?
Yeah, that and all. There, is that good enough for you? You know, I didn't realise how much time your man put into that garden out there. The things you take for granted. How was an hour she spent? Look at that window box, pretty as a picture.
How are you two doing? Washing and wiping the dishes gets you talking, and let's have more of it.
I think we've finished.
There's all those pans yet.
The talking, ma'am. We've finished the talking.
Oh, just as well. Mag and the baby are ready, Albert. Leave those and get your coat on. I'll get Terry to finish off the dishes.
Is he warm enough in there, Mag?
It will be when I put this bonnet on him and I've got pram hood up.
Yeah, it's nice out in the sun, but the wind is a bit fresh.
Yeah, that's right. Make sure you've got something warm on as well, Dad.
Where's he off to now?
Oh, just a quick run round the block with the little hen.
You've already taken him for one walk today. Can't you settle?
There's no harm in it, Terry. Let him get as much fresh air as he can. A walk wouldn't do you any harm, come to that.
Terry, are you done?
Yes.
Come and help Derek with these dishes, then.
What? Dishes?
Yes, dishes. I'm having a rest day today. Come on, look sharp.
All right, all right.
Well, you do look snug in there, I must say.
Well, that's a fine choice for Sunday afternoon. Pushing the pram or washing the dishes.
Stop moaning. Get screwing them pans.
Yeah, I gather from Dad that you're going to accept that new job.
Yep.
When will you be leaving?
Month or so.
A bad do.
Don't you start. I thought you at least had welcomed the news. After all, the atmosphere here is hardly convivial.
Oh, well, there you're wrong. It's put the pressure right on Mag and me.
How do you mean?
We're dead.
I don't follow you.
Well, you must know that for as long as I can remember, Dad has thought of nobody but you.
Ooh, I don't think that's strictly true.
There used to be a time when I went days without speaking to Dad. I mean, not speaking. A grunt, a groan, you know, but nothing like a conversation. Conversations were reserved for you.
Come off it.
No, you come off it. It was all Derek. You were always clean, doing ever so well at school, getting on at your job. And, you know, that's the way I liked it. Out of the hot seat, out of the way, doing what I wanted.
Good for you.
Remember the nights before your exams?
Do me a favour.
You and Dad had disappeared into the front room.
Torture. Pure
he
torture.
He fired questions at you all night. Mum kept up a supply of hot drinks and cold towels.
Where were you? Downtown, enjoying yourself. Well out of it.
Yeah, and well out of it is where I want to stay. Still, all that work paid off for you at least. Pity the old man didn't get such a good deal.
Oh, look, we're not going over all that again.
Over what again?
Oh, blimey. Are you here, Wigging, or is this a tour of inspection?
Both. You're not arguing, are you?
No.
Good. We've had enough friction here to last a lifetime. Now get a move on, both of you.
Terry. Terry.
What?
See to him, love.
No, oh, not again.
That was quick.
And Dad's in there with him.
Get back in then and switch the light out.
That's three times this week. Three times this week that Dad's been up to him.
Come on, switch the light off.
Yeah. You keen on trying to get a mortgage, Mag?
What?
Thought I might give the building society another go. Good night.
Just a minute. What are you talking about?
The house of our own. I'll switch off the light.
Not likely. I want this down in writing. Come on. What's on your mind now that you've woken me?
Well, there's some new houses going up on Gassel Moor. Thrown up, of course, but it would be a start, like.
What's brought this on?
Well, they'll take my overtime into account. I've been pretty consistent this last year, and the order book's full. Should count for somewhat.
It's Dad, isn't it?
I reckon we've got enough now for a 5% deposit.
It's Dad that's brought this on, isn't it?
Well, what does it matter who's brought it on? You want to have a go, don't you?
Of course I do. You know I do. None of your mum's cooking, you know. Your very own gardening to do. No automatic baby minders. You do realise what you're saying?
It's time to go, Mag. Automatic baby minders or not.
I'm not arguing, love. It's just a bit sudden. These last few weeks, since Derek went, the atmosphere seems so much better.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Dad's been so good. It's been a great help to me with baby.
Well, don't you think I've seen the change?
He thinks world of the little one.
Oh, does he now?
Well, he's very fond of you, for that matter.
Fond of me?
Yes, you. I know what you're going to say. Now that Derek's gone, we're getting Dad on rebound. Well, you just like to think that. And even if it's true, so what?
I don't want it, Mag. I don't want him to start on us planning for us like he did for Derek advising us.
It's family, Terry. It's your dad.
Oh, you don't understand, love. Dad used to rate himself. The clever dick who brought order out of chaos in his clerical section. He thought he was the winner. He wasn't interested in the failures of this world like me. Why should he be? Nothing in common.
Oh, I think I must know him better than you, Terry.
Oh, no, you don't, love. He's had a shock as Albert. He's ended up a loser. After all these years, he's realised that he's got more in common with me than Derek.
Well, if he's interested, let him take an interest.
I'm not having it, Mag. Shh. He can take his interest elsewhere. Now, switch that light off and let's get some sleep.
What time did Terry say they'd be in?
11-ish.
It'll seem funny without them. I hope they're doing the right thing, Albert. It's a big mortgage for them, you know.
Hmm.
This place seems empty.
You always said you wanted a guest room. Now you've got one, you reckon the house is going to be empty?
We're not going to have one guest room. We're going to have two.
Well, one of them can be my room, then.
Your room? What do you mean, Albert?
No, not to sleep in, Doris.
Oh, I should think not. But if it's not for sleeping in, what are you going to do in it?
Things. I'm going to do things in that room.
What sort of things?
I haven't decided yet. I've got to sit in it and think what to do.
Oh, yes. Oh, what is this rubbish we're watching?
Blood if I know.
Why don't you switch the blessed thing off? I thought you might fancy one of those small bungalows they're building at Alham. We ought to start looking round for a place that's more easily run. Those bungalows look very manageable. And it's not far from Terry and Mag's place. What do you think?
I've not given it much thought, love.
Well, start giving it some thought, Albert.
What's all the rush? Teddy and Mag are only moving out next week. Give us a bit of time.
What do you need time for?
We need time to adjust, Doris.
I don't need time to adjust. Time isn't on our side, Albert. Oh, don't look so miserable. I feel it as well, you know. The family's splitting up, going their own ways, as it should be. Good luck to them. They don't need me and they don't need you. Nobody needs either of us. What a relief. Don't you feel the relief, Albert? But there's no reason for us to live in this area any longer. Nothing's stopping us going somewhere pleasanter. Oh, what are we watching?
Does it matter?
Of course it matters.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Buxton, ain't it?
It is.
You won't remember me, I don't suppose. Wally Henshaw.
Yes, of course, Wally Henshaw.
One of the Buxton babes from Order Control.
Yeah, I remember you well, Wally. How long is it now? 20 years?
All of that.
Well, now.
Been in your life, I was then.
Yeah, no worse than the other young'uns. A lot better if I remember rightly.
You didn't say that at the time, Mr. Buxton.
No, I don't suppose I did.
What was it you used to say? I want to hear you tick, lad. That was it. Let me hear you tick like a clock.
Aye, regular and orderly.
Everything right, first time.
It made sense then.
It still does.
Some still think so.
Good experience it was for me, working under you, Mr. Buxton. Something that will never leave me, the things I learned then.
Hey, what are you doing now, Wally?
I work here, Mr. Buxton. I'm secretary of the County Cricket Club.
I never knew that.
I've been for 7 years now.
Well, you have surprised me.
Enjoy watching cricket, do you?
Nah, not much. I come down now and again. Out of the way, like.
I understand.
There's a core ground to sit on, though, this.
Can I get you a drink from the tent?
Oh, no, thanks. I've just had one.
How long has this bloke been in? I reckon he's battening against the sundial, let alone the clock. It's all right to mourn in the presence of the club secretary, indeed.
Oh, join the club.
Well, the fast bowlers of my day would have had this lot out by now.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Well, I might as well shut up, then.
Are you nicely settled into retirement? Enjoying the relaxation?
Oh, yes, it takes time. Time to adjust.
Yes, I suppose it does. You don't fancy a job, then?
A job? Not for me. Hmm. What sort of job?
Your sort of job.
Uh-huh.
One requiring method and precision. We need a new scorer.
Nay, Wally, I don't know the first thing about cricket, let alone scoring.
That doesn't sound like the Albert Buxton I knew of old.
Yeah, that's as it may be.
A man of your experience could pick it up in an hour or so. And I'd be delighted to put you through the sort of lesson you used to dish out.
Why?
There isn't much to it when you've grasped the basics.
Is that the sort of thing I used to say?
Mr. Buxton, you could knock that scoreboard into shape in no time. Make it tick like clockwork, you could.
What? All those numbers?
No, not just you. There's two or three people in that scorebox working the numbers, but the scorer has to direct them. As for knowing the finer points of cricket, the players, for a start, would be grateful for your ignorance. Know-alls are the last people they want to hear. It involves quite a bit of travelling, of course.
Travelling?
Well, to away matches. The scorer goes wherever the team goes. From Southampton up to Hull, and from Cardiff across to London.
I see.
There is some money with it. Not much. Just a little.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's just... Well, I'm a retired man, Wally.
Retired? At your time of life? Nonsense. For this scoring job, you are like a youthful bud about to blossom.
Oh, don't let my wife hear that. She'd have a fit.
Well, that's what I came over to ask you. Our present scorer is retiring next week.
All right. Pressure too much for him, is it?
No, he just wanted to do other things with his time. He's retiring early.
All right. And how old is he?
76.
What? 76.
Yes. Only 76.
You call that early retirement?
Ah, well, Mr. Buxton. This is what you call a job for life.
I can see that.
Taking your new suit, are you?
I am.
And that nice tie, I see.
Would you prefer I take a tie with egg down it?
No. You seem well prepared for a full range of social events.
Social duties, Doris.
Duties,
yeah, the team stops at nice hotels, Doris. I like to wear a suit for dinner, that's all. Now, you needn't worry. I won't be going into any discos.
What are you packing that aftershave for, then?
Oh, give over, Doris, and let me get finished. I'll miss a team bus at this rate.
It won't go without you. You've got the scorebook.
That's not the point, Doris. You know me. I don't like to keep anyone waiting, let alone a whole team. In any case, if I'm late, I'll lose my seat in the poker school.
Those lads have seen you coming. You know what they say, Albert.
No fool like an old fool. Yes, I heard you before, Doris. There's no harm in the small amount I play for, and I'm learning all the time. It's a long way to Hove. You've got to do something to occupy the mind.
Anyway, just you be careful not to lose your head.
Oh, stop worrying, Doris. I'm still in control of my senses, you know. I'm still ticking regular and orderly.
And don't you love it?
Well, I always did like a bit of responsibility, love. There. I think that's everything.
Have you got your razor?
Yes.
Now, you be careful.
Yes.
Give me a phone call when you reach home.
All right.
Remember us going on that holiday to Hove?
Yeah, it rained all the time.
Funny, though, I quite enjoyed that holiday, rain and all.
I'll take you there again, love.
Oh, when?
When I'm retired, of course.
Go on, get off with you.
Bye, love.
Bye, Albert.
In Making Way by Peter Gibbs, Albert was played by Brian Blessed, Doris by Izan Churchman, Derek by Paul Copley, Terry, Colin Skip, Mag, Diana Davis, Bob Burley, Robert Brown, J.W., Alan Cuthbertson, Ted, Stephen Hancock, Alistair, Nick Dunning, and Wally Henshaw, Roger Hume. It was directed in 1978 by Vanessa Whitburn.